God, we just thank you so much, Lord. A glorious day. Wow, Lord, I just thank you for what you've accomplished for us on the cross, something we could never have done for ourselves, Lord. As we think about the words of that song, living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever, and one day he is coming. One day he's coming, Lord. So I just thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to open your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would guide each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be able to take steps in our relationship with you. And we just ask that you would be working in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just want to mention to you before, and I might forget, but we have a table in the back of a number of different resources. So those are for you to take. So feel free to grab whatever you'd like back there. There's some books. One of the books I'll probably reference at one point this morning as we get started. We just want to walk through some things. It's great to have everyone here this morning. It's an exciting day. Easter is an exciting day where you can come together and celebrate the risen Christ. It's one of the more popular days to attend church, along with Christmas Eve and also Mother's Day. And we're so thankful that God has brought each person here. And I'd like to go a slightly different direction as we walk through this passage together and as we get started. You see, some attend just the Easter service each year, and it's a popular time to go to church. And I think that when we think about that, they view that as the one time that they go to church each year that they're reminded that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again. So that one day, a long time in the future, they're going to go to heaven one day. And, you know, they tend to view it like a picture I'm about to show you. Let's take a look at this picture. That's the DMV. Yeah, I hesitated putting it up. But people can tend to view the Easter service as something that you do, like you renew your registration each year. And kids, I will say you're not missing anything with this experience. But it's something that you just do every year, but it just doesn't seem to affect your everyday life. And the gospel story of the death, burial, and resurrection is more than a message that I need to know or you need to know just to get to heaven someday down the road in the future. It's not just the way that we're saved, but it's the way that our lives are transformed. And the story of the cross and the resurrection has deeper implications for each one of us. I love the quote by A.W. Tozier, who says this. He says, "The church will come out of her doldrums when we find out that salvation is not a light bulb only, that it's not an insurance policy against hell only, but that it is a gateway into God, and that God is all that we would have and can desire." You know, this morning we're going to walk through three or four verses from the book of Colossians. So if you have a Bible, if you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. The blue Bibles here in the rows is page 1169. Now, Colossians was a letter that was written by Paul to the church in Colossae. And if you notice, if you're in Colossians, and you might have to flip back a page to get to Colossians 1, take a look. It says in verse 2, who is this letter written to? To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you see that phrase right there, in Christ? We sang a song just a little while ago that said, in Christ alone. That means when we talk about being in Christ, that we are connected to Christ in a unique relationship. We have union with Christ, in Christ, if we've placed our trust in him. And what I'd like to do before we just jump into chapter 3 is it's important that you understand what's happened in chapter 1 and 2 in Colossians. It's very important to read a book through all the way so you get a feeling and an idea of what's really the main point. And I'm just going to summarize Colossians 1 and 2 with just a phrase: what Christ has done for us. Colossians 1 and 2, if you're going to read through it, it's marvelous. You see what Christ has done for us. The cosmic significance of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. But what happens in chapters 3 and 4 is it moves from what Christ has done for us to what Christ does through us. What Christ does through us. It's living in union with Christ. So take a look at chapter 3, verse 1. With that being said, it says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." See, when he says, "you have been," that means that something has happened to you. You can't be just kind of raised with Christ. You're either raised with Christ or you're not. You're either saved by grace through faith alone or you're not saved. And so what we hear here, what we see, is Paul saying a very important thing about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And kids, I have a summary statement that I'm going to put up there. Christians are changed by Christ. Adults can jot that down too, but Christians are changed by Christ. Because when we're raised with Christ, that means that we were spiritually raised when Christ was physically raised. And so I'd like to actually take a step back to Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, because this concept about being raised with Christ is introduced. Let's take a look at this. I think it's Colossians 2:12. It's introduced here. It says this. It says, "In him," starting in verse 11, "in him you're also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So it talks about this circumcision of the heart, this circumcision. And I'm not going to define circumcision. For kids, if you have a question about that, you talk to your parents what circumcision is. But what I'm going to say is what circumcision is heart surgery. It's something that God has done in us. There's a heart change that's happened. And so what we need to understand is with that, take a look at this Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Because the result of that heart change is this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here." See the phrase again? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so this concept is based on really the resurrection. The resurrection is critical for Christianity. It's the proof. It's the proof that what we have or our faith is real. Take a look at Romans 5 or 4:25. It says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." So he was delivered over to death for our sins, Good Friday. That is Good Friday right there. And then he was raised to life for our justification. And justification is a Christianese word that means just as if I've never sinned. Because of what Jesus did, that proof that he raised from the dead, that's proof right there that's needed to be right with God. God clothes us with his perfect righteousness in Christ, not in ourselves, in what Christ has done for us. And so that's a really important distinction. We actually sang that just a little while ago, that song, "Rising, He Justified." That's what that means. Because of Jesus rising from the dead, we've been justified just as if we've never sinned. And that's a beautiful thing for us. That is good news for us. That's great news for us. Can we go back to the slide earlier? I want to make sure that the kids have an opportunity to jot that down. I think, which one do we have right there? Yeah, that Bible verse. I saw maybe some kids writing quickly. So that verse is there for you. Write that verse down. It's very important. That's a great verse even for adults to memorize, to remember that if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. But I want to point out something to you about this verse. Not only does it say, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is. Listen, look at that last phrase, seated at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God. See, that idea of being seated at the right hand of God means that God's authority, his present rule and reign, Christ is ruling. It's at the Father's right hand. And there's an incredible verse in Hebrews 1:3, which we looked at a few weeks ago. It says, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And take a listen to this. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of his majesty, of the majesty in heaven. After he provided purification of sins. So in order for you and I to really get something out of what it means to live a life, a raised life with Christ, we have to recognize what Christ did for us. And so if we do, if we look back, remember the first and second chapters of Colossians focuses on what Christ has done for us. So let's be reminded in Colossians 2:13 what it says. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. How? By forgiving our sins, canceling the written code and its regulations, which was the Old Testament law that was against us and stood opposed to us. And he took it away, nailing it to the cross. So what we find here is that God took the initiative. We were dead. We were unable to save ourselves. And that's what makes Christianity different from any other religion. It's what God has done for us. I took a quote out of a book called Done, and I have this book in the back. I meant to bring it up front, and we have them available. But it talks about the difference between do and done. And take a look. The do religions, any other religion besides Christianity, the central message is the same. You must work your way up to God. You must perform God's list, do God's commands or demands, appease God's anger, and earn God's forgiveness. These systems are the ultimate form of religious bondage for millions of people all over the planet. Take that and then think about what has been done for you and for me. The true message of the Bible is done. He's done everything necessary to restore you and I to God. Remember when he was on that cross, those three words, it is finished. It is finished. He didn't say, well, it's partway done. I'm going to keep working on it. No, he said, it is finished. The work. So what does that mean for me? Does that mean I can just kind of, now that God's done everything necessary for me to be saved, now I can just kind of go and do whatever I want now? No, because Romans 6 says that. It says, it gives you this idea that it just says, hold on a minute. What shall we say? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace might increase? By no means. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? And so that's what we need to be thinking about, is that sin should disgust us. We should have a desire to follow Christ. And look at the last part, or actually it's the middle part of the phrase in this first verse. Set your heart on things above. Now that is a continual action. It's just not a one-time thing. That the way that that's written in the Greek is that we're to keep seeking, keep searching, and to center our lives on Christ. How many other things do we center our lives around? And we put Christ way out here. We find other things here that we can put in there. We put our family there. Sometimes we put our career there. We put our possessions, the things that we've earned, all those things. We put that in that center spot. And what we need to do is take Christ right here and put him right in that center. And that everything that we do from then flows from that relationship. Because Christ changes our lives, as we said earlier. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, this is the second time he repeats this concept. When the Bible repeats things, you have to pay attention to it. So this time it says, set your minds. And this doesn't mean just kind of think about it every once in a while. You know, I'm going to set my mind on it. No, if you set your mind on something, you are consumed by that. You are consumed. You become obsessed. And it says not on earthly things. And the point here is that, of course, we're going to be concerned about earthly things because we're here on earth and we need to be good stewards of what God's entrusted to us. But the point is, don't become consumed by earthly things. Don't let those things overtake you. And I think we've had things in our lives where we've kind of started to do something with them and you just kind of get a little bit obsessive. Like, for me, it was tinkering with, I went through this phase. I was tinkering with, like, automobile parts and engines, small engines. You know, I've told you some of the stories of how I bring back lawnmowers from yard sales, and Bonnie's like, what are you doing? And, you take apart, you tinker, you start to replace things. But those things can become obsessive because you can just kind of focus your attention all on that. So early in the morning, I was out there in the garage. Late at night, I was out there in the garage, and my life was just kind of revolving around, what can I do in my spare time? I'm going to do this. So Christ is what should consume us, and we should have an eternal perspective. I like the way that William Barclay puts it. He's a commentator, a pastor. He says, there will be a difference, talking about people that set your mind on things above. From now on, the Christian will see everything in the light and against the backdrop of eternity. Eternity. He will no longer live as if this world was all that mattered. And Paul warns the Colossian believers. Listen to what he says in chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See, Satan would love, would absolutely love for us to be consumed with the elementary principles of this world. And I'm going to give you an example of that. Because in our culture, right now, the big word right now is love and acceptance. And also this idea that anyone can do anything that they want. And Satan's strategy there is that everyone becomes their own God. They do what's right for them. And truth becomes relative, which means it changes, as opposed to truth being absolute. And so what Satan loves to do is Satan loves to take what God has made and distort it and destroy it. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday there was a decree from the White House proclaiming that March 31st, this day today, is the Transgender Day of Visibility. And I will say this, because it got worse. As I was reading through this, it said this. Listen to the bottom. I have hereunto set my hand this 29th day of March. In the year of our Lord, 2024, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 248th. Did you catch that? In the year of our Lord. See, if you're going to say that Jesus is your Lord, you need to live that. See, when Jesus is our Lord, we become consumed with his priorities for who he has created us to be in our God-given genders, whether male or female. See, you can't say the year of our Lord and act as if his word has no relevance at all. And so what we need to recognize is that Christians must care deeply for what God says. We must be consumed with our call to share the gospel message. And I'm not saying that those people, they would identify themselves as transgender. They're struggling with their identities. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying, how do we handle that as believers? Well, we help them to see that the only way they can find lasting identity is in Christ. Not in trying to figure out their own way and their own solution and listening to the philosophies of this world. It's being grounded in Scripture, being grounded there. We got a lot of people out there that are trying to be social media influencers. You might not even know what that means. I kind of barely know what it means. But here's the thing. Jesus must be your social media influencer. Because take a look at verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For you died. After last week, someone came up to me after the service and quoted a verse. It's the verse that I'm going to put up right now. It's so powerful. Take a look at this. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, believer, your life is now hidden in God. Since you died with Christ in Colossians 2:20, you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. That is not a priority anymore. You have a new priority, and that's the Word of God. To live this word, to live out our faith. And because you have union for Christ, with Christ. But listen to what Paul says in Colossians 2:20. He says, you died with Christ to the elementary spiritual forces of this world. Why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? And so we've been given a new identity, a new union. And I will say, hidden with Christ in God, there is no more secure place than that. Because Christians show Jesus through their actions and through their words. See, what ongoing impact should the resurrection have on you and me? Not that just one day, far down the road, I'm going to be in heaven. So I kind of have everything set now. I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know that he rose again. No, not just something way down the road, but how every day our lives need to reflect living a resurrected life. That people would see Christ and they would not see us. Take a look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I love that. Christ, who is your life. Now, oftentimes we use other things to describe that. We put other things in that blank. Blank is life. You remember the campaign a number of years ago, back in the 1900s? Let's take a look here. Let's see if we have it. For baseball, do we have that one? Remember this? Baseball is life. The rest is just details. Now, there was every shirt was ever made. It had every different hobby, every different thing. Blank is life. The rest is just details. But what would it look like if your life looked like this? Jesus is life. The rest is just details. Because Christians live as if heaven is their final home. It says, when Christ appears. That appearance is a reference to when Christ returns. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Jesus is faithful to his promises. And we begin to live life as if this is not our home. This is not our final home, not our final destination. We're hidden with Christ. And I think the Apostle Paul lays this out because he sees in Philippians 3 what's happening all around him. And I think we can see this right now. And he's broken for it. He says, "For I have, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Remember that? Setting your mind on, don't set your mind on earthly things. Don't be consumed with those things, because this is the result. But look what Paul says. "But our citizenship is in heaven, as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So what you'll find is that if you truly want to celebrate Easter, that it will be impossible for you to separate Easter from the rest of your life. To not look at it like one day, and I sit and I go through this, but how every day your life's being changed and transformed because you're in Christ. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would love to, we'd love to be able to talk with you and pray with you, answer questions, and just get to know you more, because it is the greatest decision you will ever, the most important decision you'll ever make, because eternity is at stake. And if you're someone that has been around the church for quite a bit, you've been involved in services, and you're like, you know, I just, it's not clicking. It's because we pray that Jesus transforms your heart, and that heart surgery starts to happen, and you recognize your sin, and you recognize the grace of God and how he came to rescue us. That's what the cross is about. The cross is the greatest rescue of all. And we all need that, because we've all, like sheep, gone astray, all our different ways. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the sin of us all. And so I'd encourage you this morning to put your faith in Jesus for true heart change. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. Lord, we can look around at our culture. We can struggle to process what is happening. But Lord, we also know, and in many ways, we live in a post-Christian culture. And Lord, that Satan is hard at work, looking to deceive us and move us away from your word and help us to slowly slip into a life of compromise. And I just pray, Father, that you would help us here at this church and other churches to stand firm on your word, to be focused on what you have said, and that you will be coming back again. And that if you are our Lord, that changes everything. That changes the way that we live, changes the way that we look at this world, and we recognize that we are simply just passing through, and that we will be with you one day. We love you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.